Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tehran.
That would be really weird.
I agree.
You know, I was watching the weather the other day, and I was, and when they zoom in, Matt Lawbaum and our friend Isaac at WCBI,
yeah,
I flip back and forth.
Is Matt Lawbaum not our friend? I don't know him personally, so I would say he's not.
Well,
I've never met him.
I've actually met Isaac.
I've had drinks with Isaac.
I would consider Matt our friend because he's a very friendly guy, and I think if we ever met him, he would be nice to us. I would enjoy if Matt was our Thunder and Lightning resident weather reporter, but I know he has his hands full.
We had somebody tweet us about that. I need to get back with him.
So anyway, I was looking at this map, and it's zoomed in, and when they zoom in enough, you start seeing communities.
Yeah.
There was one that was like food basket. And, you know, obviously we have Egypt and all this.
Yeah, I knew about Egypt. I didn't know about food basket.
I was thinking, like, you know, if Brian could just look at this map,
I'd have an endless supply.
Endless supply.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And also, if you're here in Starville or in Tupelo, the weather's starting to brighten up a little bit. Why don't you go and grab you a M's Strawberry Lemonade Fresher, the newest drink on the Strange Brew menu. It's delicious. It is 100% Haydad approved. And one last thing. Here you go. That's from our good friend, John.
Yes.
Hooked us up with some. I think mine's Churn and Spoon. I don't know what yours is.
Mine is
there Strange Brew.
It's also Churn and Spoon, which I prefer.
Frozen treat.
Now, I love Strange Brew, but if I had to pick between the two, what I like the most is Churn and Spoon because I'm an ice cream man.
Before we go any further with our commercials here, we got to talk about this incredible t-shirt you're wearing.
Oh, you like that?
Three's up right there.
Look at that.
Look at that. The Intimidator. Look at that.
I went to Talladega.
Can we see that good enough? Hold on. I don't even want to see your that's the angle for the rest of the show.
Dale.
That's an awesome shirt. Fantastic.
So whenever I was growing up, we obviously couldn't go to the Sunday race.
Right.
Because my dad's a preacher and we don't go anywhere but church on Sundays. But
I always thought the Lord and Dale just had that day together.
Me and my dad were huge. I can't even tell you how big of Dale Earnhardt fans we were. We got shirts made that had like just the three on it, and black hats with the three on it. We went to Talladega like three or four times to see the IROC races.
Okay.
So the race of the IROC cars.
Yeah.
And Dale raced on Saturday. So we got to see Dale
race
on Saturday. And I was just in heaven.
There you go.
You know, I'm like 7 or 8 years old. I watched the day that Dale died, watch that on TV.
Oh,
it was a tough day.
I was at work. Somebody just came in. They're like, Dale Earnhardt died. And I was literally like, shut the blank up.
It was
like,
crazy.
What are you talking about?
And I couldn't believe it.
I can't. Still to this day.
Yeah. I watched the wreck happen, and then we left.
Oh, yeah. Just like,
I didn't know he died.
Yeah. It didn't even look like a bad wreck.
And then somebody at church came up to me and said, y'all know Dale died, right? And I was like, what? And he had the tape.
Yeah.
We went upstairs to a room.
Oh, gosh.
Upstairs. And watched the whole thing.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Robbie got to enjoy some beef today. Well, how was the beef? Was it good beef?
It's good.
All right. Good beef.
I had a lot of things. I had chicken, pork,
In all the major food groups, but the most important thing is we had the beef.
It was all good. I thanked Lee Battle for having a birthday.
Yeah. He needs to have more of those.
He does. I came up with this idea of like the 4-month anniversary of Lee Battle's birthday.
Well, we're going to put the blanket down like he's a baby.
I'm going to spell out with a pork loin how old he is.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a pork loin.
Let's do the beef council. Let's do a beef tenderloin.
Okay, we can do that. We'll do the beef short ribs that you made.
Okay.
And we'll just map out 35. Happy birthday, Lee Battle.
There you go.
And we'll just map out 35 on the sheet, and he can just lay there, and we take a picture of him.
Whatever you're doing this weekend, if you're cooking out, put beef on the menu. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You are looking for maroon and white merchandise. You need stuff with the new logos on it. Get it. I'm still seeing that Banner M stuff around. And it's got to go. It's just got to go. We got to move on with our lives from there. So do that. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner. For Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this week or any week, make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on the agenda, especially for lunch. If you're a lunch person, Robbie and I love to eat lunch. We love to go out and get lunch. I cook dinner at home, but I like to go out for lunch. And I like to go to Restaurant Tyler and get my blue plate, and I'm just as happy as a camper after that. And so is Robbie. So if you want to see a happy face when you make a happy plate, you need to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you, how they're going to help you, how they're going to help you, how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, I feel like I should do this one in the Trump. Like, you got questions about your money? You need answers? Priority One Bank. Good bank, great bank. Some say the best bank. Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a special guest over here. Let me see if I can. Can I get him over there? You can't see him. No, he's is it? No, he's not.
It's for the best.
It's for the best. This gear he's wearing over there. Get that out of there. This is a horns down podcast. You stay over there, young man. All right, we'll get to baseball later. Let's start with basketball though. Both the men and the women in the tournament, as everybody projected. Mississippi State, the men, an 8 seed in, I guess, what is technically the East Regional. They will play Baylor in this first game. I went ahead and did the research so you guys don't have to. Baylor shoots 35.1% from three-point range, so we can just go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the women. Let's just get right to it. Going to be tough. Baylor has one of the top players in the country. Now, if you follow basketball recruiting, you might remember his name, VJ Edgecombe. I think he visited. I'm pretty sure he visited here.
I think he did.
State was in his final two or three. He ends up at Baylor, and he is one of the top freshman guards. To the point, I'm pretty sure he'll be a first-round pick. He's averaging 15 a game for the Bears. He's a 44% shooter, 35 from behind the arc, at 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He's a really good player for this Baylor team, which on the season has been a, you know, not a great team. You think about Baylor and what they've been in years past, you know, former national champions. This has not been Scott Drew's best year. In a Big 12 that, you know, in a year where Kansas was kind of down and Kansas State was down, Cincinnati was down, Houston and Texas Tech were the cream of the crop there. BYU really good. Arizona, a good team. Iowa State had been a good team. Baylor just in the middle of the pack, 19-14 on the year, 10-10 in the Big 10, or the Big 10, 12, I should say. And, you know, just on paper, a good enough team. They're 30th in the net state, currently 34th, in case you're wondering. I just look at that three-point percentage and immediately my mind goes, all right, one and done. I mean, I that's just what this team is at this point.
I mean, it's...
You're trying to talk yourself into this.
It's manageable. I mean...
It could be a lot worse. I mean, considering on Friday, Lenardi's bracketology had stayed as a 9 seed playing UConn. That could have been a lot worse.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I thought State, for the most part, defended fairly well against Missouri. I know they scored...
They played much better. Plus,
but I thought they defended pretty well against them.
Well, you think maybe they should have... maybe tried to be a little better offensively in that game.
Yeah, they
Okay.
should have. But I don't think, but I don't think overall that's their issue. That's the thing. I think the, well, I think you agree with that too. You actually did agree with that, and you said, I'd agree that they don't have, their defense stinks. That's why their offense has to be better.
Exactly. Yes.
So, which kind of contradicted your whole point you were trying to
I
make,
don't
to be
think it did.
honest.
I think my point was they need to be better offensively, and they weren't in that game. But
Florida 3-point shooting is 85th in the country.
you got
Wow.
to realize like the
Florida 3-point.
percentages are so tight.
They
Like
shoot,
it's
they also shoot
.1.
so many.
Yeah, they shoot a ton of threes. Yeah,
I was just, Baylor is 111th. Check that out.
111th. What is Mississippi State in defense?
I don't know. Pretty
So what we're
bad.
gonna do is let's just do this live. 3-point percentage defense. I'm just gonna go to the eight. There's 8 pages. I'm gonna go to the eight.
I'm gonna guess they're on the
They're not
eight.
on the eight.
Okay.
They're not on the eight. Miami is actually the worst one, a power team. State is 321 out of, just in case, oh, sorry, I didn't make that one clear. 321 out of 355. That's my line. That's gimmick infringement, Georgia.
Vanderbilt's somehow worse.
They are, yeah.
I think State is second to last in the SEC.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yikes City,
Not
I'm gonna
great.
say.
Not great. So, and obviously, if State were to win on Friday, 11:15, they have the first game of the Friday games. They would play Duke in all likelihood. We never can write off a 16 upset, but it would be one hell of an upset if that were. Who does Duke play? They play the winner of, which one is it? It doesn't say. I guess it's on this side of the bracket. They must play the winner of American and Mount Saint Mary's. So, I mean, I would love to see American knock off Duke. That would be a very American thing to do. But in all likelihood, we are staring down the barrel, if State can beat Baylor, of a incredible Cooper Flagg versus Cam Matthews showdown.
Yeah. And John Shire confirmed on TV earlier that they're hoping to have him back for Friday, which is game one.
That's game one, yeah.
So, I don't want to count the chickens here because Mississippi State has not won an NCAA tournament game since 2008. So I don't even want to jump to that just yet. But it would be interesting, how that, what that looks like without a Cooper Flagg. And again, I don't want to look over Baylor, but I know way more about Duke than I do Baylor.
Yeah, I got to learn about Baylor.
And it
Ooh, I
would
just thought
not
about
be a
that.
good matchup, obviously, but.
I've been on. There's a sports or talk radio station in Waco. I've been on a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
I guess they'll call me this week, but that means I have a Baylor guy though. So we'll get him on the show.
Oh, sweet.
Great.
Yeah, it's been a really good program under Scott Drew. And State met them in the NIT, if you remember,
I do
when
remember.
Darrier Witherspoon had the buzzer-beating shot. It was just an incredible shot that he made to advance in the NIT. But other than that, I don't recall a whole lot of matchups. Rick Stansbury played them one year in a neutral site game.
Is that right?
I think it was neutral site. I don't recall a whole lot of matchups. State played Duke and then in the NCAA tournament when they had, JJ Redick and that crew. So either way, they're going to play, likely play a team they've already played in postseason play. But this Duke team, we watched a little bit of them on Saturday night, and obviously have a difference maker defender in the post that is a Jarvis Varnado type shot blocker, and that's going to be tough for Mississippi State to contend with. Obviously, they have good guard play. It's a national championship contending team. And without Cooper Flagg, it's going to be tough, but it's still a really good team. I'm interested to see if State does get to that point, what kind of, I guess, with the SEC being what it is this year and the gauntlet that you've gone through, what kind of impact that has on this game for both teams. Mississippi State has seen the Auburns and the Tennessees and the Floridas and the Alabamas of the world, and they've played, a legit top 20 team, at least one of them, it seems like every single week. Duke has not played a very difficult schedule week in and week out. When you look at the ACC, it was bad. There's no other way around it. Louisville is the number two team in the ACC, and
They're an
they
eight.
are the eight with
They're, they
Mississippi
are
State.
legit. They are technically seeded lower than Mississippi State.
State was the number 10 team in the SEC. Louisville was number two team in the ACC, and they are both at the same spot. So that's kind of where the difference is between the two conferences. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a better setup for Mississippi State than the UConn prediction.
Yeah, that's a much better. So, but we'll see what happens. I mean,
I thought Baylor was going to be like maybe a play-in game. They won. I think they won 19 games.
They were 19 and 14.
I thought they might be like a play-in game or a double-digit seed. But
no, their net's really good. Let me look a little deeper at the net here for them. Where did that go? Like I said, they were 30th in the net. So I mean, that explains a little bit of it. Baylor 30. They're 5-12 against quad one and 7-1 against. They got 12 quad one, quad two wins. They weren't particularly successful against quad one teams, but they do have 5 quad one wins. State 7-10, 6-2, in case you're wondering. So State would be 13-12 in those games. How many bad games did they play? Baylor only played 7 quad three, quad four games. And they did have a loss. Did State have a quad three loss? No, but Butler held on the whole year. I'll be damned. I thought they would fall out at quad three at some point.
Thank God that was a neutral site.
Yeah, if that had been a home loss, that would have been a bad one for State. So 14 SEC teams in this bracket. Texas makes it in as in a play-in game. Oklahoma made it in as a 9 seed, incredibly. Yeah.
It kind of felt like State last year as an 8.
State was a 9 last year, weren't they not?
I thought they were 8.
I thought Michigan State was the 8.
I think State was the 8.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
But I was still a little surprised by it. Like, we were kind of sweating it a little bit up there at Two Brothers. Yeah. We didn't know. And State was like the last bracket, too. Mm-hmm. We felt pretty good about it. But at the same time, 8 seemed a little high, I guess.
Yeah. Same with Oklahoma there this year.
Yeah, for sure. Looking
around the rest of the bracket here for the SEC teams, as you can guess, Auburn, the number one overall seed. Florida, also a 1 seed. The 2 seeds, Tennessee and Alabama. Kentucky is a 3 seed. We found that surprising up here in the Super Talk studios. Let's see here. Just going through the rest of it here. State, obviously, is an 8. Ole Miss is a 6 seed. They get a play-in game. They will play the winner of, you said it was San Diego State and North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, so probably.
Is it San Diego State?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So San Diego State is a bad matchup for Ole Miss. North Carolina is a good one. So we'll see how that pans out. We mentioned Oklahoma is the 9 seed. They get to play UConn. Arkansas made it in relatively drama-free. They're a 10 seed. They're playing Kansas. That's a winnable game for Arkansas. They could advance.
Kansas and Kansas.
Yeah. Georgia also a 9 seed. They get the draw with Gonzaga. Gonzaga is the 8 seed, but they're a top 10 net team. Gonzaga's 8th in the net. That's a weird. I don't know what the deal is with Gonzaga. Who are we missing here from the SEC? Where's Vandy? A&M's a 4 Vandy. Seed. Ooh, A&M got Yale. Watch out.
Uh-oh.
Yale got Auburn last year. Where's Vandy? There they are. They're the 10 seed. They play St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a team you don't want to play in March. They St. Mary's usually wins that first game. That's I'll be putting St. Mary's down in my bracket. So anybody else I'm missing here? My 5-12s, you guys know I love the 5-12 games. I will bet all 4 of them. Michigan, UC San Diego. Michigan finished. Did Michigan end up winning the Big 12 tournament, the Big 10 tournament? They're playing Wisconsin.
Yes, yes. Michigan won.
Michigan won, okay. Yes. So they're the 5-12. There's that one.
Michigan State was upset.
Yes. Oregon, Liberty. Liberty, of course, was a 12 seed that knocked off Mississippi State a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado State, Memphis is a 5-12. Colorado State, I don't know about that one. And then the one I love, Clemson and McNeese. Will Wade, American gangster. Let's go.
Last year, that was a hot first round.
They were very
upset.
Hot first round. But they were a 14 in that one. They were playing like somebody really good. This year with Clemson, that's a winnable game.
This feels like the end for Will Wade.
Yeah, somebody's got to pick him up. I can't believe
the Cowboys' last ride.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Didn't he come out the other day and was like talking about how he was holding out for another job or something? Or
I didn't see this.
I forget what it was, but He made some kind of mention about the like the job market or something, and he was looking for,
Didn't see it.
yeah,
Well,
and
it's not good.
he's all in on it seems to be he's NC State all but it seems to be all in on him, so
NC State, really? Just like he'd get a better job than
I
that.
thought that too.
So we'll
Yeah.
see. Maybe he's waiting to see if Texas opens up.
I don't know.
We'll see.
That
We'll
would be
see.
a great fit.
Be a great fit. Be a great fit.
What about Buzz Williams at Texas?
I'll just go ahead and tell you this right now. So somebody
Could
asked me
they
earlier.
take back to back Texas A&M
Somebody asked me
coaches?
earlier if I had any really hot takes. I'll give you one. If that happens, Texas A&M is going to the Big Ten.
Just get
They're
out of
like,
here.
we're out. We can't live with these people. Like, we just can't do it.
Just get out.
Just like, you know what? You at that
I would
point,
turn to dust.
whoever the president of Texas A&M just needs to say, just issue a statement that just says, you win. You win. Like, it's like, I know
That's it.
are you a big Potter guy? Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Neither can live while the other survives.
That's
All
true.
right? Texas A&M cannot live while Texas lives. They've got to get away from each other. So,
100%.
yeah. If Buzz Williams goes to Texas, I may laugh. I may laugh out loud. Pretty hard, actually. I laugh with Schlossnagel.
If my rival stole
Yeah.
two of my best coaches, I would just simply turn to dust.
Like, it's not the same. It's not
The
the
guy that
same.
does the peace
Yeah.
sign and disappears, that's me.
Yeah. Like, if Beard left and they got Jans, right? And then it's a little different with baseball because they wouldn't want Lamonas.
Yeah.
But let's just say, just for the sake of argument, that Lebby turned it around big time and went 9-3 this year. And then Kiffin goes to the NFL and they took Lebby. I'm out. I'm out. I just like, I can't deal
In
anymore.
baseball and basketball, it wouldn't happen in Mississippi State. Like that's
Right.
not that wouldn't happen because state has had. I mean, I would say the prestige at state in basketball and baseball is
It's
higher
a little higher,
than it
yeah,
is at Ole
for
Miss.
sure.
It's not a different tier,
Right.
but I would say it would be not really a step down. It'd be a lateral
Right, at
move.
best, yeah.
Football,
It's a step up right
it would
now.
be a step up, but
Yeah.
again,
It's not as
it's a whole
dramatic though.
lateral.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But this
A&M to Texas, though.
it's not as lateral though. Like Texas is just better. They're just better. I don't know how else to put it. We're not
Yeah.
trying to, kiss their ass or anything, but
What is this bug?
there's a bug. We got a bug in the studio.
Is it the mosquito eater? Is that what
Oh,
it
it's
is?
definitely that's not a bad bug. Yeah, that's a skeeter hawk if that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. The women also in the 8-9 game, but they are the 9 seed in the USC regional. And by USC in this instance, we mean Southern Cal. State will play Cal in Los Angeles on March 22nd. And then if they win that game, they will take on Southern Cal, the Trojans, for a chance to advance to the Sweet 16. I know you haven't done a chance to do too deep of a dive into Cal as of yet, Robbie, but just some thoughts on this state team. I guess my question is this. If I could go back to talk to you again in November, is this about where you thought they'd end up? Maybe a little better, a little worse. What do you think?
No, I thought they would be like on the bubble, but I didn't know if they would get in the
They got in
tournament.
relatively comfortably.
They did. They got in comfortably. I thought they had to beat Auburn at the end of the year. When they beat Auburn, I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah.
But it was certainly a team that I thought was interesting coming in, but I didn't really know what they would do. I didn't know what to expect from them, really, because you're replacing almost your entire team. Jerela Jordan was a huge piece back. Debrisha Poe was a huge piece back. Debrisha is kind of like she's a role player in the sense of like what she does on the court, but she is a huge piece of the team as far as the leadership's concerned. And her and Jerk were huge to keep, but that's only two. There's only two players that you brought back that were major contributors. You brought back Nir Montague, who was a bench player that played maybe like 6, 7 minutes a game. So that's a huge like undertaking to change that roster.
Yeah.
And Sam Purcell had to go out there, and I thought, you know, they had their hands tied a little bit. You lost your entire staff, pretty much, and you had to hire a new staff, and you had to convince players to come here. And I thought just building the team and getting what you got out of them, I was impressed with what Sam Purcell did. I understand that people want to see more out of him, and they want to see the X's and O's grow and things like that, but I look at the schedule and there's not a whole lot of games that, you know, I would say could have gone either way. I think they should have beat Missouri and Florida, and that probably would have taken them to a 7.
That might have got them up to a 7, yeah, if they could have won those two games.
You're looking at 9-7 in the SEC at that point, 23 wins. They would have been that would have been a 7 at least.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's not like you're going to be hosting in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So,
but it's a better season. You say that, yeah.
So I thought there were very few bad losses. They lost two games on the road to teams that didn't make the tournament. And everybody else they lost to were tournament teams.
Yeah.
So for this year, it being year three under Sam Purcell and a total rebuild for the most part outside of Ja'Kayla Jordan, great job. I mean, 3 seasons now with 20 or more wins.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted this guy fired in the middle of the season for some reason. I don't think it's very reasonable right now. He's going to have to tank a year or something to really start to have that conversation. What he's doing?
Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
What he's doing has been impressive. He could be better, I'm sure, but it's still an impressive job by Sam Purcell to get this team to 2 NCAA tournaments in 3 years.
Yeah.
And 3 postseasons.
And really, 1 win away last year.
They were 1 win away. If they beat Texas A&M, I think they're in.
I agree.
And they just kind of fell apart late in the year.
Yeah.
Kudos to them. They didn't do that this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They have been a really good postseason team since he's been here.
Yeah.
They won 2 games and ran out of gas against Notre Dame. Had they not had to play that play-in game,
Tyler could
probably attest to it.
Who?
You know. If they had not played the Illinois game, I think they could have won that game.
Yeah.
Because they played 3 games in
3 days, right?
4 days.
Like 4 days, yeah.
So I think they were dead at that point. Like their legs were just tired. They were, you know, a few plays away from going Sweet 16 in year 1.
Yeah.
And then won 2 games last year in the WBIT.
Yeah.
Against you know, 2 teams that were on the way up, Georgia Tech's in the tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
TCU is a 2 seed.
Yeah.
And State beat them in Starkville, and you had a chance to beat Penn State in the quarterfinals. So,
yeah. All right.
Hopefully, we didn't spend too much time on that for that guy that got angry.
Let's not worry about him. All right.
This Cal team, they beat Alabama.
Who?
Cal.
Oh, Cal.
They beat Alabama,
mm-hmm.
who's a top 5 seed
in
the tournament. Lost to Clemson. They beat NC State. That's a big win.
Yeah.
Got killed by Duke. They lost North Carolina. Got killed by Notre Dame. Tyler probably watched that.
Who? Why you keep bringing this guy up? Why?
You talked about him earlier.
Nobody likes him.
They lost Notre Dame twice. So we'll have to get a scouting report.
We'll get somebody on from Cal, maybe. We'll see.
Noted ACC team Cal.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think
Atlantic
about that.
Coast Conference team from the Pacific Ocean.
It's the All Coast Conference.
Yeah, they got to change it up.
I mean, if we can change it to Gulf of America, we can change it to All Coast Conference.
Matt Lawbone used the
Gulf
of America.
He said Gulf of America.
It kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, I heard about that. All right, let's switch gears. Let's move into baseball. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the county district. And the older brother, the home of the fa- – you say that, but not about two brothers and the older brother.
Not at all.
That's more like, ooh.
I would rather just talk about two brothers and the older brother this whole time.
I mean, I wouldn't be against it. I think most of our listeners wouldn't be either. But if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, a trip to Two Brothers and the older brother, that's a must-do. Two Brothers, the legendary place. You know you know it. You love it. You've been there a million times. It's still great, though.
I love it.
If you haven't been to the older brother, you are missing out. Easily one of my favorite places in Starkville, maybe the best news restaurant in this town. Go grab a fancy sandwich at the Older Brother or some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50?
I always like when you catch me off guard. That was a good one. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. Then if you need service, hey, you call the same people, same number, same people you've talked to that made you the sale. You know them. You have that relationship. It's not a pain in the you-know-what to get it done. In the east.
There we go.
I just dropped the whole word earlier.
Yee.
So, 601-3... Yeah.
Oh, I missed
601-362. He doesn't listen to me. 361. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I remember the
this
catchphrase.
Baseball team keeps going like it is. I might drop it.
I remember the catchphrase this time. We had the best tweet. One of our listeners tweeted is like, break me off a piece of that Advantage Business Systems.
Yes.
It's like, yes, you got it.
Now I want a Kit Kat.
Yeah. Marin & Co. You like this shirt I'm wearing right now? This sweet. By the way, I think I mentioned this, but I bought this off the rack.
Yeah.
I haven't bought a shirt off the rack that I could wear in quite, unless I was at a big man store in quite some time. So I was very proud. But I like this shirt. It's super comfortable. I got it at Marin & Co. And you know what else I did? I used the promo code THUNDER15. That's right. I used my own promo code to save 15% off. And you should do that too. On in-store or online, the promo code is THUNDER15. Whatever sport you're looking for, basketball, baseball, football, softball, track.
Soccer. Men's and women's tennis.
Yes. Anything. Club sports. Debate. Swimming. Irrigation troubleshooting. They've got it all at Marin & Co. Before your next trip to any game here in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Marin & Co.
Ultimate Frisbee.
We are national champions in that. We were.
I think that was the first national championship.
It was.
Or was it disc golf?
Isn't Ultimate Frisbee and disc golf the same thing?
No.
Can I get a ruling? It's not?
Absolutely not.
I had no idea.
Don't you ever say that again.
I didn't know. I legit thought they were the same thing.
Dare you?
I thought they were the same thing.
They're not the same.
What is the difference?
Ultimate Frisbee is more like football.
Oh.
But, so, like, you have a group of people and you have a quarterback or whatever, throws it down the field.
Uh-huh.
You catch it. You can't move.
Okay, so wherever you catch it is where you catch it.
Disc golf is like golf.
Golf. I thought they were the same thing. No. Had no idea. I'm a heathen.
You're pathetic.
I'm sorry. Well, speaking of that, no. Before we jump in, a couple of shout-outs I got to give. First off, shout-out to one of the student workers, Brady. So we got there today. I was supposed to – I guess we did do this in reverse order here. Shout-out to our buddy Lee Battle, who this weekend was his birthday, and I floated the idea of, hey, for your birthday, you want me to cook for you out in the lounge? And he said, yeah. So that became a thing. And we went out there today. I had a great time. Enjoyed cooking. Apparently, the food was the hit. I'm glad to hear that. But I got
to
give a shout out.
Humble over here.
I literally am trying to. I'm not even trying.
I guess people had a good time.
I mean, what do you want me to do? I don't want to be a jerk. But also, Brady, one of the student workers, we got there after the check-in time, which, by the way, provides an opportunity for me to rant. What the hell is a check-in time? Just let the people bring the coolers in and have somebody there ready to check them. Like, hey, my job is to sit here, and if you bring a cooler in, I open it up, I look in there, and I say, all right, get your ass in there and go. Yeah, I said it again. Just go.
Thunder and lightning after dark.
It is after dark. Just go. Like, I can't. They're like, oh, you got to check in between 10 and 11. Why? What if I get there at 11:05? You're telling me I can't bring the cooler where I went and bought $500 worth of ribeye steak? I can't bring that in now. It's just got to go sit in the car for 3 hours and go bad. Why can't they just bring the coolers in? That doesn't make a lick of sense to me. And I'm sure I'll get a whatever. I'm sure I'll go, well, you know, we got to. I don't care. Use some common sense.
Well,
you just have a person at the gate whose job it is to check coolers.
Seems easy enough.
All right. But Brady helped me finagle the system. That's all we'll say about that. So,
did you give him some food?
Oh, I gave
him. He's getting fired now that you've thrown
him. Nah, he's fine. Logan's not firing.
You had to throw his name out?
Logan's not firing that guy.
Just say this guy let you in.
I told him I'd give him a shout-out, and he said thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah, I sent the press box like 3 full plates of food. I also did the ultimate Diddy Noble thing as I fed 2 visiting fans. But the other one of their fans were from Texas. So I fed an Ole Miss fan and an LSU fan because I got Richard Cross and Ben McDonald a plate as well.
That's right.
I forgot Richard was calling the game. And somebody sent me a text like, hey, you gonna give Richard any food? And I was just like, crap! Put together a plate real quick for him.
You got to give Richard some food.
I got a shout out. We got a shout out. He's in the Thunder and Lightning podcast. So
and And that's been a point of contention before because you've talked about how he hasn't promoted your show,
The
specifically your
live
live
show.
show.
He's always real bad about that. So
So,
it's not a problem anymore because he doesn't work Wednesdays now. So,
well, he had to.
by the way, if you want to see a unicorn tomorrow, Richard will be on Sports Talk Mississippi.
All right, well,
Allegedly. Allegedly.
let's
All
what.
right. Now to business here. What are our rules? Win your home series and don't get swept on the road. The don't get swept at home is a given. It's like
You can't get slept at
that's
home.
understood that you can't do that, and that's exactly what Mississippi State does. And now they're in trouble. It doesn't matter. You're gonna say, oh, it's still nope. No. They're in trouble at this point. Losing all three games to Texas. And they did that thing where they had a chance to win every game and they didn't win any of them. And that is the hallmark of a bad baseball team. Don't worry about it.
That's what team we this is what we talked about last year whenever I got like yelled at before I could get my like question out by Chris Simonis. But this team loses all these close games. It's not just baseball. People will tell you, well, that's just baseball. No, this is Mississippi State baseball. This is what it's become. This is what happens when a team is not doing the little things correctly. And I mean, let's walk through it. Let's start with Friday. You have a 5-3 lead. You take the lead, or you push the lead out to 5-3, and you come back. And
You actually responded both times Texas got on the board.
I'm not going to blame Pico during this game because he really settled in, was playing well. But he hit a guy. I think he hit a guy or
He did hit
walked
a
him,
guy. He hit a guy.
and then gave up a hit, and he goes out with no outs. Well, I mean, you hit a guy to lead off the inning. That's basically a walk,
It's a
and
walk.
we always say lead off walks are killers, and that's what happens. And then Chase Hungate comes in there and
Your
just
most experienced reliever. Guy
So
who's
State
pitched a
didn't
lot
take
of big
care.
games.
State didn't take care of business there, and the offense got them a chance late, but you didn't do what you need to do on the mound. Fast forward to Sunday, you look at that game. I thought in that first inning when they scored that run on the hit by pitch, and you have the pitchers out there really shaky. They needed to come through with a big hit right there, and they didn't. And I knew that was going to hurt them. It happens every time, and I told people around me at the time, that's going to hurt. It's 1-0, and it should be like 3-0. And State didn't. You got to jump on a guy like that, get the crowd involved. They didn't do it. They had him shaky. He threw over 25 pitches, and all you got out of it was that one run he pop up to end the inning. They come back. You hit a guy. You walk a guy. You give up a two out double. You had the two out walk, I think, and you give up two doubles in a row. And so you don't get out of that. And then again, you get a leadoff double from Hunter Hines with a chance to start cutting in the lead. Nothing.
Nothing.
You had a strikeout. You had a fly out, I think, something like that. Then you tie the game. You get all the momentum. You have a runner at second with one out. Follow that up with nothing. So you get nothing out of it. That's kind of the story of Mississippi State. Game three, you're down 2-1. A big time screw up from Texas. Nobody's covering the bag, which evidently should be a balk according to the rules because nobody was there and he threw over there and there was nobody to get the ball. But beside the point, the play happened. You got two guys in scoring position. Just push them up two bases with one out and see what happens from there. Instead, Kyle Chiesepro's sending Dylan Cup home on the play, and he's gunned down by a mile. And you not only do you take a run off the board, you gift an out to a team that again is that's kind of a play
That's
that
a
can
momentum play,
unravel a
and you gave
game.
him momentum back.
Yes, and you get nothing out of the inning. You had first and second with one out,
And then,
and you were about to have second and third with one out with a chance to take the lead with a base hit.
to me, the real salt in the wound is in every game in the final at bat, you had the tying or winning run
Every
on
one of them.
base,
Every one of
and
them.
you could not bring them home. And you know, and we're talking about Friday, you've got the tying run at second with your cleanup hitter who's already hit a homer, a double, and a single. And
And
he couldn't
well, in fairness, hit it hard.
he hit it hard, but it's out.
But I don't really blame him for that. I mean,
Sunday, game one, you've got second, you got two guys on, down two with Hunter Hines at the plate, and he can't come through. And then
pop up.
And then game three, basically you got two on, you're down three, so the tying run's at the plate, and you can't get anything out of it. And it's just here's what I'm gonna tell you guys, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. Want to talk about hosting? State is 86th in the RPI, which means in 9 weeks they got to come up 70 spots, basically. Because we'll just say the top 16, right? Now we know it's not just going to be the top 16, but that's the where they need to be in, right? Right now they're the second worst in the SEC. Worst, as you can imagine, is Missouri. Missouri currently sitting at 222. Missouri is irrelevant to this discussion, right? The only other team behind them is Texas A&M, who is in dire straits right now. They are 118 in the net, or in the RPI. They're not hosting. A&M is basically done at this point, unless they start reeling off wins. They're 10-9 right this second. They got swept this weekend at Alabama.
I've never felt more vindicated than
You were
my.
right. You were especially vocal about that.
I just don't. I can't
You
imagine
can't
that.
lose a coach of the caliber of Schlossnagel and replace him. Look, if they had gone out and gotten, I don't know, the coach at Oklahoma State or the coach at Duke, is it Chris Pollard, is that his name? If they had gotten an
Yes.
experienced coach who had played and taken teams to the postseason and brought him in, I'd have been like, yeah, that's the best team in the country. A first-time head coach, it's just difficult. You know, and honestly, you know who it speaks highly of? Lamonas.
Yeah.
Of course, Lamonas had been at Indiana, but he had not stepped into a job like this. But he was able to take a team that was experienced and push the right buttons and go forward with them. This guy, I mean, they're in real trouble.
They
Who do they
are.
play next? What's Texas A&M schedule? Do we know? I gotta know. They're at Vanderbilt this week. Then they host Kentucky, and then they go to Tennessee. Buddy, they're in real trouble. Real trouble at Texas A&M. So,
I mean,
but going
state's in
back to
trouble
state,
too.
but going back to state, yeah, 86th in the RPI. You got to go up at least 65 spots.
It's just
You got to win games to do that.
the what's happening to this baseball program is just to me embarrassing.
You want to hear a breakdown here real quick, by the way? State's wins, quad one. Now it's the quads are different for
They haven't
RPI.
beaten anybody good,
They're 0-4
except for
against
Southern Miss.
quad one. They're 1-3 quad two. That's the win against Southern. They're 1-0 quad three. I'm going to assume that's Rice. Because they beat them in a neutral site.
Who stinks?
And they're 11-0 quad four. They have 13 wins, and 11 of them are from sub. What is quad four? It's like sub 100. Quad four, yeah, 101 to 307. That's all the home wins.
And I'm just not on board with people that think this team is terrible. I don't think they're terrible.
They have pieces.
I think they're going to win enough that they're going to be in the tournament and all that. The problem is, we're going to be sitting here again on Memorial Day. What was
Yeah,
the day?
Memorial Day.
Okay. Memorial Day, and everybody's going to be complaining about Mississippi State versus some team that's on the bubble of hosting. And
State will be at Dallas Baptist.
people are going to be saying, we need to be hosting. We can host 15,000 people. You didn't do your
Like it's still
job.
1997.
You didn't do your job. This is what happens every year now with Mississippi State. If they're not 9-26 in the SEC play, they're fighting for a hosting spot. And it's because they didn't take care of business. And that's quite frankly embarrassing. Mississippi State should never be in this position as a baseball program. And whenever you win a national championship, you really shouldn't be in this position as a baseball program. You have completely changed the expectations now. When you showed that you can actually win a national title here, buddy, it's over. The expectations have gone through the daggum roof. And in June, spider webs are gathering on Duty Noble Field, and that's pathetic. And now Duty Noble Field, we had this rant last year, and we're going to go right back into it.
Uh-oh.
Duty Noble Field is now a great place for opposing teams.
Yeah.
They love it. Tyler had the time of his life this weekend.
Who?
All those people
You keep
from
talking
Texas,
about this guy.
They were having the time of their life, and you're seeing these heartfelt posts from them.
Yeah.
You know why they're doing that? Because they can come in here, they can beat your butt, they can get treated like family, and they can be fed. That's why they're doing that.
That's why
they love it.
I didn't mind the hospitality when we were taking 2 out of 3 from everybody.
That's right.
When you're winning, it's like, yeah,
nobody's
by
gonna,
all means, beat them and then feed them.
Do you think LSU's going to come in here and be like, God, I love Starkville. If you sweep them,
yeah.
No.
No.
Texas is doing that because they win on Friday night. They go to Starkville Cafe, which is the hospitality is great. That's great. But I'm just saying,
I don't have a,
that's
don't
what
have,
it's become. It's
we don't
become
have a problem
friendly...
with people being hospitable.
No.
The problem is it's become more important to some than the baseball.
It's
what it feels
is,
like sometimes. You know what it feels like? I'm gonna hurt some people here. It feels like a whole, like, we ain't never lost a party.
100%. 100%.
Kind of
mindset. That's where it's coming into play now.
And that's...
Yeah,
I mean,
because
that's not what I
a lot
want
of
to be a
people
part
love
of.
Going to Oxford because they could go drink in the Grove and hang out and then go in the game.
And then beat Ole Miss.
And LSU wins by 50 and Alabama wins by 50.
You don't see Ole Miss fans talking about winning. They talk about partying still, but they don't talk about at least we win the party. They've moved on. So
they're winning games now, and it's a tough place to play. The dude was like that. When they built that stadium and State's playing in 2019 in that stadium when it was completely finished, in 2021, it was a feared place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there, you didn't see a lot of opposing fans. You didn't see, you know, that whole happy-go-lucky atmosphere. It was, to me, it felt closer to the old Alex Box Stadium than it did, you know, whatever Mississippi State is becoming now. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have somebody. They've now been swept 6 times in the last 4 seasons, and that can't happen at Mississippi State. You shouldn't be getting swept anyway, but to have it happen in your home stadium, a place that was built to be the best college baseball stadium in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing.
It is.
That should embarrass anybody that's involved with it. And if you're not embarrassed and you're more upset about people complaining
about you over there
upset
complaining,
about that, you're the problem. You are the problem 100%, and you need to find something else to do. If you don't want to win, if you don't want Mississippi State to win, if you're just there just to have a good time and, you know, you just want to be hospitable or whatever, if that's just your thing, and I'm not saying don't be hospitable. I'm just saying if that's what you're worried about,
yeah,
get out of the way.
I'll let you hit that. That was a good rant.
If you're a person that doesn't like the expectations being what they are, and you don't think that Mississippi State people should be clamoring for more than what they're getting,
mm-hmm.
you need to get out of the way too. Because, like I said, when you win the national championship, that changes everything.
Well, I mean, when you built that stadium. That stadium was built to host regionals and super regionals. Nothing else. It was not built to be full in March. It was built to be full in May and June. Mm-hmm. And if it's just gonna, if we're gonna start closing up shop before the SEC tournament at Duty Noble, then why'd you spend $70 million?
And the grace period has been over too on this. Like the 2 seasons being what they were, I thought State got back, you know, on decent footing last year. This year should be the year where you're building back to that national seed and building where you want to be. Last year, you know, I think you said it was host or bust.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I think State needs to host, and they're not doing what they need to do. They've played some good teams early, but they've beaten almost none of them.
Yeah,
they beat Southern Miss.
They beat Southern Miss,
who has a chance to host. I think. I think they're going to do really well in their conference. But other than that, they've beaten nobody. They haven't. And they're going to play Jackson State on Tuesday, and they'll win that game 20-3 or something. And then they'll have to go to Oklahoma this weekend. And it's almost like a must win against a team that's better than a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And you're digging yourself a hole That's going to be very difficult.
Oklahoma is 17 and 2 on the year.
17 and 2, and they just took a series from South Carolina
on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
It's a better team than everybody thought they were going to be, and it's not going to be easy for this team. And the thing is, the back half of the schedule and like some of these teams that they're going to play, that's not going to really move the needle from an RPI standpoint if they do win those games.
You know what's funny about RPI this time of year is the team. So who do you can guess who's number one in RPI? It's Tennessee.
Yes.
You want to guess who number two is?
UC Santa Barbara or something like
you're,
that.
You're on the right path. It's UT Rio Grande Valley.
Jeez.
The who?
Roadrunners.
No.
That's UTSA.
It's DSA. Do you want to guess?
UT Rio Grande Valley?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Vaqueros.
Oh my God.
What a great nickname. I need a t-shirt. Excellent. I want to get me a t-shirt. This is Vaqueros.
That is excellent.
Yeah. Xavier is fourth in the RPI and they're 8-13. So
oh my God.
The RPI, next week RPI will start to settle itself out a little bit more.
But when you know, 2 weeks state's got to state's got
to you got to win games.
Win games, man.
It's going to be tough.
They've got to find a way to win
you
games.
You can't lose series at home. You certainly can't get swept at home. That's exactly what State did.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you said, most of what you said is on point. So, there you go. All right. Tomorrow's show, more basketball, more baseball. We're going to try to get a Baylor person on the show. We're going to try to get some other folks here and there. Spring previews this week, Georgia and Kentucky. Those will be this week on the – yeah, I know. All right, we'll do all that this week. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Holler if you hear me!
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.